Welcome to Optimize My Life, the ultimate radio show where we unlock the secrets to living our best lives. Now, before we dive into this exciting journey of self-improvement and empowerment, I want to take a moment to thank our incredible sponsor, The Hope Collection, for making this show possible. Their unwavering commitment to spreading hope and positivity in our lives is truly remarkable. We believe in the power of interaction, so we want you to be a part of this incredible journey. Call in, write to us, or connect on social media. We'd love to hear your questions, experiences, and challenges. Together, we'll create a thriving community of like-minded individuals, supporting each other to thrive and shine.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. It is Wednesday, which means it is Nutrition Matters with Fat. And we have
this Wednesday really snuck up on me.
It did. This week went by really fast.
To be here. Should we wait for him and let him do it?
Yes. I know right now they're struggling in snow.
Yes.
So we will start with, did you get that article or post that I sent you?
Yes.
On Facebook?
I did, and I remember reading it. Hang on, now I need to go back and look to refresh myself. Yeah, the 60-hour fast. Yeah. This, what it reminded me of, so background. Mary sent me a Facebook post, and I think a friend sent it to you, right?
It popped up on my
Oh, really? So it is all about this person's story of doing a 60-hour fast, how they got through it, like what kept them going, and then it goes into like the benefits of fasting, right? Fasting can get very dangerous very quickly. So when I'm talking generally, and this actually came last night in a presentation I was doing, not the 60-hour thing, but fasting in general, it can get dangerous very quickly, especially for people who have other medical conditions like diabetes. So it's something I never recommend. Generally, as like you read all this and they're like, oh, but there's these benefits of not eating for a certain number of hours. You do that every night, right? Like say your dinner is at like even like 7 o'clock, right? Personally, if I could have it my way in life, I would eat dinner later. But that's not how children's schedules work. Say you eat dinner at 7 and then you don't eat again until 7 a.m. the next morning. There's a 12-hour fast.
Good afternoon, Mary. First of all, let me identify myself. This is Ron Clayton, the president of the Hope Collection and the development manager for the Hope Collection outreach called Optimize Your Life. Over 10 years ago, Joel Griffin, the founder, Dr. Joel Griffin, founded and working with Burl Walk, founded a podcast we broadcast going back over 1,800 summits, daily Monday through Friday at noon shows that are open conversations, different topics on different days show called Optimize Your Life. And today we get to welcome someone officially to the Hope Collection, Optimize Your Life in the World, that has been developed so that we can now create an outreach for health and nutrition. I want to congratulate Mary. You have been approved by the board and welcome the board officially as a member of the Hope Collection, which has pillars of operation. One is faith, one is family, one is housing, one is education, one is health and wellness, the other is water and energy, and the arts. And so under these categories are pillars that we operate through, and Beth has taken the time to research us out, and we've researched her out, and we've come to the conclusion that we are just totally thrilled to have her become a member of our family of the extension of reaching out to help others by helping them help others. That's our theme. And just an example of why Mira and Beth was so well welcomed to join us is just what she just reviewed right now. There was some fact that she and somebody asked a question initially about fasting. Now, I happen to be a diabetic, and a lot of my friends, like I'm a Gideon, we're very active in our church. I'm known as a man of faith. I live by my faith. I share it. We don't hide behind that or try to ignore that in this room, this environment that we have called Optimize Your Life and the Hope Collection. It's fundamental. So when she's talking about some people fasting, I have people all around me right now who are doing that, and that's great. I have often thought about doing that, but she qualified right off the bat before I even asked the question. Beth just explained why, if you're a diabetic, fasting could be a very dangerous thing for you to do. The only way you really should do it is under strict guidance from a physician. And now that I know that, it's not an excuse for me not to do it, but I'll tell you, I understand why. But I'm really more excited by the fact that here is a kind of question that someone might bring up on the show, and how we can trust on Mary's credentials, her experience, and what she's presented to become the position of running the show on Wednesdays at noon, an Optimize Your Life show that comes through our platforms called Black Talk Radio. And we welcome everybody to make phone calls. You are welcome to and discuss things. However, I know that Mary is not, we're not looking to hear about the greatest, newest voodoo medical processes. We're not interested in new scientific-based certified programs and processes or identified as an experiment. We could do that, but we're not going to turn around and be promoting the newest, latest idea that somebody had because their aunt and uncle live on a farm and they do something. We're not doing that. So I am very proud to welcome you, Beth. I'm really excited about how we're going to touch lives. And you have already, I know you've been participating and practicing with us for the last few weeks, but today is the official first one. Thank you and welcome.
Well, Ron, I'm going to add
thank you, Ron. I'm very excited.
We do keep track of the trends of what's going on, and we give you all the facts. Beth, when I see things like this new fasting thing that popped up on social media, I send it to Beth so that she can look at it and say, and we can give you the most up-to-date, healthy information about if it's something that is good, something that's bad. We give you the whole information, not because there's so much out there in social media about dieting, supplements, fasting, not fasting, juicing, not juicing, exercise, whatever. And we want to give you the most information from a reliable, credible sources out there to give you what you need to live that healthy life. So we do keep track, and we'd like to know what's the newest things out there so that we can stay on top and give you all the information you need as a listener.
That's so true, Mary, and thank you. So I wanted to get on the call this morning at the beginning of the call. And I was on the phone. Actually, we had an exciting thing happen yesterday. In spite of a 4 foot of snow, a driving ban, we aren't even allowed to go out on the roads in our community in Buffalo. And we've got four foot of snow in the driveway. And to be safe and everything, we're, you know, people are recommending that to go. In spite of that, I just bought a car. And what we did is we had a lease, and the opportunity came, and we were able to put together a program because we have good credit with several companies. The lease company was able to do whole processing, paperwork, everything, all put together, finalized. But I had one more thing to do, and they called me just before the call to start the show today. So I was going to open it, thank goodness. Mary was there to look at my back, and so she did open the show. For everybody that's listening in, what we're all about every day in the Hope Collection is to bring that very thing, hope, and bringing answers to people. So there are ways, as we share ideas, we want to make them available. If you have something that you have specific in mind to bring that would be brand new, I'd like that you reach out to Beth beforehand or Mary, because they are the two key people. Or if the only way you can reach the Hope Collection and Golden Rule Society, or myself, and my phone number is 716-908-2300. And so you're always welcome to do that. But I ask, if you're a new listener or even if you're an old listener, if you have something that you're really turned on about, but you're not sure if it fits without controversy, because we're not looking to stir controversy. We're looking to be a solution together today. So if you want to call and just discuss your issue before we go to the shows, that's more than adequate, and we'll be able to, and we'll do that. We welcome that. So, Beth, again, good luck and thank you.
Otherwise, always join our Facebook group or come post in our Facebook group at Optimize My Life on Facebook. And a lot of our shows are built on responses from you guys on what you're looking for shows. And Beth is a administrator and a key person in that group. So you can always reach out to her one-on-one that way too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's, like, I can come up with all kinds of things that I want to talk about, but that doesn't mean that everybody wants to hear them, right? So I love it when you send me things, or when, like, friends reach out with different things that they've seen and heard. I bring that all here to, if one person has a question, chances are many people have the same question.
I'm sorry, Mary and Beth, my phone was, I was cut off, and I was finished, but I didn't want to just leave that thought up in the air. But thanks again. We'll be looking forward to so many more days ahead and today, and I just wish everybody a prosperous, happy, and healthy new year.
Thanks, Ron.
You're so welcome. Is my phone still active?
It is. Yeah. There was something I was going to go back to that Ron said that is now completely escaping me. I love the idea of, like, this is something that is, like, a scientifically backed, there's facts behind what we put out and what we say, and, like, you know, a lot of the questions do come from a place of, like, what's seen on social media, and those trends, I was reading something last night, those trends change so quickly. And that's part of how you can tell just anybody that's consuming that information. You can kind of tell whether or not it's a trend and not necessarily backed by science, is how quickly it comes and goes, right? Is that you hear all about it 1 week, you know, let it rest, let it sit, see where it is next week. If it's gone, chances are that was a threat. Like, you can start to determine some of it based on how quickly things come and go.
Yes.
And it's, I feel like my feed, I don't know, just the other day finally it started, which I thought was interesting. It's all full of, like, how to get a flat belly, right? Like, very specific, like, how to make your belly set flat, like, how to eat, like, eating and food is so much more than that. And nor can you target one specific part of your body with the food that you're eating. But there's something out there to draw everyone in. And so it comes down to learning about what you're eating and how that food interacts with your body and what it's doing for you. And the more that you can move towards eating food, right, like actual food and not relying on things like supplements, the more complete your diet is going to be, and you're going to get in all those things that they're trying to sell you, like in a supplement form and whatnot anyway. And you usually do better because I think I've mentioned this before, like there was a study at one point about like the antioxidants in tomatoes do best when they're paired with the other pieces of the tomato. So taking just the one antioxidant as a supplement doesn't give you the same benefit as eating the tomato. So just that concept of like eating the whole food not trying to extract certain parts of it, you're going to be healthier overall.
That's so true, Beth. And I'd like to share something with you. Many of you, my friends, know that a few years ago, I had a stroke. And there are a couple things that today I'm here and I'm getting ready to have some surgery and then to recover. I'm going to Cancun to recover. It's called medical travel now. When I had my stroke, there are certain aspects of when I got in the hospital and I had a 5-doctor team from a nutritionist to a cardiologist to obviously a neurologist, a team of doctors that brought me through it. And I'm thankful. I will also tell you very strongly that I was surrounded and lifted up with great prayer. And I'll never take that out of the equation. That is clearly why I'm here today. But I want to talk about before that happened. Most of my adult life, I have been taking organic food supplements. Now, the company that produces them was, number one, they were organic, and they were not just food supplements. They actually were generated product that were far advanced or whatever, and were in the world. In fact, I'm not ashamed to tell you, the name of the company is Nutrilite. And they are known and they've been tested. And I'm not trying to promote a product. I'm just telling you that this is a company that has a proven process. And their recognition and patents of what they do is producing products from greens and natural and all the things that people talk about are the key words. But no, they have scientific backup on what they do. My doctors look at who I am and what I was in my condition. First of all, I did carry a very heavy, about 70-pound bag of plastic samples. I was in the plastics business, and I traveled every week for 15 years, and I went all over the country. I was in a different airport every day around the country, every week, and I dragged that bag. So guess what? I had extremely good cardiology condition, cardiovascular. And you know what? I wasn't overweight. I had a little bulge. But no, and by the way, I was at 225 pounds for 50 years. Now, I have become, during the stroke, they uncovered that I leaned toward in the diabetes. And so to control my blood pressure, my diabetes, we've altered a lot of things. And I found something to help that. And today I operate on a rating of around 5, and my blood pressure is 120 over 70, and I did lose some weight, 20 pounds, so I'm at 200 pounds. Ideal. My doctors are thrilled. Now, the doctors, going back to my stroke, felt that my backup of taking and utilizing the product that I did, it's called Double X, it was not cheap, but it was good. It was good for me, and it helped me provide, because I didn't eat apples every day. I hate broccoli. I didn't eat what's called and considered ideal. Some nutritionists want you to eat to a point that's not feasible. It's not real. And then you got to take into what you like and don't like. And I'm not going to eat a carrot just because they say, well, it's, I get to that point. Well, I've been able to manage what I need to do in my life. And that's what I love about Beth. She's not trying to get you to go do something that's goofy to get you where you need to be. But I, the doctors recognize what I was doing in my life helped me when I had a problem, a health issue with my body. And I'm grateful that I did that, and I still promote that. But I'm just saying to you that, as you know, we talk about the general public, the general advertising, they don't take into account anybody, your situation. You always need to deal with someone, a nutritionist or a doctor, that understands nutrition. You know, there's a lot of doctors. Beth, would you agree with me that in training to be a nutritionist or to be in the medical field, very, very few doctors are taught about nutrition as part of your health?
Typically, they are given one, like either sometimes they have one full semester, but other times it's like one lecture on nutrition, and that's it. So they are not educated
qualified
on nutrition and on the effects that food has on your body to the same extent that a dietitian is, by any means. So that usually causes a little bit of friction in the hospital setting. It's getting a lot better over the last decade or so, but it used to cause a lot of friction because they like to feel that the doctor knows best. However, it's always important to acknowledge
qualified
when somebody else knows more. Yeah.
Beth, I'd give an example of why I have a greater respect and understanding for you as a nutritionist or anybody who is a nutritionist. I learned early on, this goes back before I had stroke, my doctor assigned a nutritionist. I had one. And one of the first few months of my reviews, I was on a program once a month. And the first thing I found out is that I love corn. I mean, my habit since I was a kid was in the summertime living in Western New York, corn is king. We have the best corn in the world. I mean, you can't beat it. You can drive down the highway anywhere. There's any kind of, once we're outside the center of the city and you're up anywhere in the suburbs or in the country, you'll find a farmer who will stand with corn. And they got good corn for the most part. And lately, in the last few years, the grocery stores have found places in the world that grows good corn. And you can get it in February. So I would eat, buy a dozen ears of corn, cut a, you know, boil up, get there, slop a lot of butter on there. And I'd have, and we usually get some tomatoes and slice them up, put some mayonnaise and salt and pepper on them. I'd have, oh, and then I'd make a salad up with, we call it we'd get a salad made up of tomatoes, onion, garlic, and then I'd take an Italian dressing and put it on there, let it sit and warm up, and then I'd have, so that was my dinner. And I would do that, we would do that multiple times a week for years. What I found out is corn is not a vegetable. It's in the grouping of it, but it's not a vegetable. It's starch. So that, in terms of trying to control a diet in a way that's good, well, I've altered that. In fact, for the first year, I really cut down almost no corn. That wasn't difficult because I wanted to get healthy. The other thing, I used to drink every day a carnation chocolate malt milkshake or just chocolate malt milk every single day. And I found out that was like taking a bag of sugar and dumping it down my throat every day. Now, I still love chocolate malt, like in a milkshake or chocolate malt milkshake, milk. But what I learned is that, and by the way, I just say, so happens that week when I learned that, I ran out. I just didn't buy it again.
Perfect.
The chocolate malt, carnation chocolate malt, or malt. And so occasionally I may be out, and especially if it's a warm day, and I drive by the ice cream stand, I might get a chocolate malt milkshake, but it's occasional. I'm not drinking it every day. And that alone, that was two changes in my medical or my eating habits that made a dramatic difference in my sugar, you know, whatever the rating, whatever they call it, AC, or whatever they call it. But you know
your
what it
A1C.
Is, Beth.
Yeah.
A1C,
yes.
Yeah. So that I learned because of someone like yourself that was able to point out clearly without being negative. You know, if she just called me and said, or I was in the office, she said, you got to stop eating corn, or you got to stop eating chocolate malt milkshakes, I'd tell her to go jump off the end of the rope. I wouldn't do it. But she shared with me.
There's this,
go ahead.
Yeah, there's this point of moderation that, you know, is difficult. I feel like Americans are not great at moderation. We really, really love the extreme. It's either all or nothing, right? Like, but to find that, like, that in between where, like, you can have a chocolate malt shake, but it's a special occasion food, right? And so thinking through, like, one of the things that I say a lot, I feel like, is, like, is it truly a special occasion? And what are your special occasion foods, right? And then it also becomes, you're still going to only have one serving at that special occasion, like one piece of cake or one shake or whatever that food item is for you, and learning that moderation. And then the mindfulness piece comes in of, like, you can enjoy that food even more by bringing more intentionality and awareness to it of, like, why do you like it? Does it bring up certain memories? Like, are there certain, like, is there something about, like, the texture or the combination of textures that you really like? And actually taking the time to stop and enjoy it. What happens a lot with foods that we like and we enjoy, we tend to eat them faster. And then you're, like, losing out on the full experience that you could be having.
Well, the other thing is preventative. It helps. Yeah, I'm not looking going forward. I don't want to have a repeat, and I want to keep getting better.
Yeah, and what you did, too, is that you didn't, like, get your A1C down and then go back to everything that you used to be doing, right? You've continued and carried those habits forward so that you can keep living a healthy life. You know, so often, especially, like, I primarily deal with weight loss. And so what I try to help prevent, right, I can't always do it because it's ultimately up to the person, but is that, like, hold it together and cling to these new habits until the weight is off and then stop doing it and go back to all your old habits. That's never going to work when you're balancing blood sugar, when you're trying to get cholesterol under control, when you're trying to get your weight down. Like, you're ultimately setting yourself up for failure if you see it as, like, a time-limited change, right, versus if you're looking at it as, like you did, like a full lifestyle change that you're going to carry forward forever. That's when you're going to see those lasting, long-lasting results.
Well, again, you reinforced all those things that I learned and I'm still learning. So, again, I want to thank you. And that's when I didn't want to come in and take over the object of the show today, but those things came to the, and it just so happens what you were talking about just fit. I thought it was interesting. There's a company that promotes one of those supplement programs, and I found out for the longest time, for a year, they never told you how much you were going to have to take to make use it. I found out they're telling you to take three tablets of two different products twice a day, minimal. That's the minimal to achieve what they're suggesting you're going to get. That's a lot of that product. I'm telling you, I just think there's other ways, and there's other companies or other products that are available that you can get that you're not into that. And reality, if it takes that much of that product to accomplish the goal of what they say claim is going to do, I think you have to take that into consideration when you see. You know, there are people, they can legitimately say, they claim, they got to, and they put celebrities all over the place demonstrating how it works. That's great, but I don't know that that's the ultimate and only answer. There are multiple ways that you could accomplish getting. And I found out because I found out the product that we happen to take advantage of, it does have the concentrations of broccoli. I hate broccoli, but I can claim that I eat broccoli every day. I don't mind. I like carrots. I love tomatoes. I hate beets. When I was a kid, I was anemic, and I had to eat beets, calf liver, spinach. I won't go near that. I can't stand it. But I get it every day because I take that in a concentrate that's been organically and properly prepared. So you can find answers to what you're looking for to accomplish without going to an extreme.
And that reminded me of what I was going to say earlier, talking about like things being marketed to you, right? And then we are the consumer. So when you're going into the store, right, the goal of that product on the shelf is to, or the manufacturer that made that product is to get you to buy it, right? They're in it for the profit of selling their product. There's no company out there who truly has your health as their best interest, right? That's just not the job of a company. They would, it just isn't the way that it works. So any manufacturer is really looking at how to sell products, and one of the ways is like marketing it as being healthy, which is not a regulated term. There are some terms that are regulated by the FDA when they're put on packaging, but healthy is not one, and I don't believe natural is regulated either, actually.
Right, because the word natural is a nice general sounding, you think, general that's accepted. You know, I remember back there was a company that was one of my customers when I was in the plastics industry, General Nutrition Company and GNC. They're in malls everywhere that are still open on strip plazas. And they were promoting a supplement, and I'll tell you what it was. It was ginseng, and the CDC did check it out. And they found out that the product was so irregular in what it claimed that was in, you know, what was in it that was supposed to help you. And it was derived from a product that's grown in a couple oriental, eastern countries. And many of the products, they called it organic and natural. So it came off farms. And what they discovered that was in the product, not a nice thing to say, but what was, it had cow dung. And they pulled the product off the shelf, but before they did it, this GNC got fined $500,000 because they were selling product. It wasn't standardized. It wasn't qualified. It wasn't certified. And those are things you have to look for.
There's actually, I think, and I can double check and I'll put it up in the Facebook group. I believe it's on the FDA website. Like I said, I'll find it and put it in the Facebook group because it's just a link. You can go and see all the different lawsuits that are out against different companies for, like, you know, misrepresenting different claims on their products. And it doesn't always result in them getting pulled from the shelves, even if there's a lawsuit against them. They'll still sell it because they don't care. They'll just pay the fine.
Well, it's because they're not necessarily certifications in the marketplace on food supplements. So then you have to go to the reliability and the reputation and the proof of the company you're buying your product from, you know. And so that's true. That's really true in anything. You know, I don't care what you buy. When I got a lawnmower, I got a John Deere. Now, I'm not saying that other stores and companies that have lawnmowers don't have good lawnmowers. But there is no question. The proven track record, the integrity, the length of time that's been in business, John Deere is still the gold standard of tractors. So You can look at that, and guess what? There are people that sell things cheaper. There are things that say they're better. But in the long run, almost verbatim, their products are the best. And you can count on that. It's reliability. And I always think that's important.
It is, yes. There is that reliability factor. There's a term for it when, like, you're comfortable with a certain brand because you've seen it repeatedly over and over again, basically. So it's perceived to be, like, the best choice. And then just being the skeptic that I am, like, what's usually not told to us is, like, when those businesses change ownership and therefore, like, their mission and values end up changing with new ownership, and then the consumer is never, like, informed of that. But that's a me issue. I'm always skeptical.
Well, I think that's being intelligent. We used to have a store in Buffalo that said an educated consumer is our best customer. Well, the thought is true. The thought is true. An educated customer is our best service, but you have to be careful what the education you get. Because we used to say in America, our educational system was the best in the world. If I had children today, there's no way I'd put them in a public school. You couldn't pay me to put my children in a public school. And, you know, there are too many people that accept the results are proven. That's a track record that's educated. So my wife, Linda, wanted to be on the show today, so she's on her phone. She looks forward to joining the show. I'm going to hear you on, but there'll be other times for me to chat. I got all excited about these things. You found my hot button, Beth and Mary.
Oh, that's
so
fine.
So I'm going to turn this call over to Linda on my side, our side of things. Bye.
Hi.
Hi, Ron. Hi, Linda. How are you?
Good. I knew when it was 25 after 11, it's like, okay, I'll do a couple more things. And a couple more things turned into too many things doing at the same time. So I apologize to get on late. You would think
that's
I had no place else to go since we are, quite snowed in here. So, but we need somebody to plow out our driveway. But since we're going to have another storm tonight, I'm just going to wait until we find somebody tomorrow because.
Yeah.
So anyways. So,
I feel like
you guys are,
we've gone,
go ahead.
No, today we've gone through a lot of sort of how to kind of comb through the information that is out there and figuring out whether or not you're just being sold something or it's just a random new trend that's going to be gone next week,
exactly.
Which typically tells you it's not a long-term change anyway. And really sticking with the basics is not, it's not flashy. It can feel boring, but that's what produces better health and better outcomes is really going back to the basics, refocusing on what your body actually needs and getting it as much as possible through food. And working with yourself and working with that like mind-body connection to feel better and eat well.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can kind of filter out all that noise of like a 60-hour fast, which one of the other things I wanted to say about this, going back to the very beginning, the 60-hour fast, in her post somewhere in there, they talk about like how good it felt. And at a certain point in starvation, you actually, your body induces this like sense of euphoria to block out how bad it feels, more or less.
Oh my.
So I'm I'm sure she did feel great because it felt so bad. Her body had to change the narrative to not be miserable. So and it's honestly the same thing that happens when you die.
It's like hitting your head with a hammer.
Yeah.
It feels so good when you stop. You know, I mean, it just sounds so unhealthy. And I don't want anything trendy. You know, I mean, you know, things that have been proven, you know, your moderation, watch, you know, cut down on carbs, eat fresh vegetables, things like that. You know, things that may sound old-fashioned and boring, but, you know, just makes so much more sense, you know. Eating fresh foods, and you know, not and so much of our food is processed, and it's just, you know, it's just crazy. One of the things I talked about on our Saturday morning show was just to have quality time, quality food, not fast food. You know, you can't make a life of pizza and burgers. Quality rest, you know, getting that sleep. I have really been working on that in getting to bed earlier and having a solid good night's sleep. It has made so much difference. Getting up and having breakfast, I had Cheerios, whole wheat Cheerios with fresh strawberries this morning for breakfast. but doing that, and you know, and doing that, and so you know, it just I love how it said, you know, just quality time, spending time with your family and friends. You know, just make that a priority. So
it's something
good.
Again, that the American lifestyle, we have this like go rush until you retire, I feel like, right? But it doesn't have to be that way. It is a choice, right? It's hard not to get caught up in it. And it's something that actually my 8-year-old, my son, really brought to my attention because he was doing Taekwondo and baseball and obviously like I had school during the day. And he was just like, it's too much.
Yeah.
I was like, it's only two activities. He's like, no. He's like, I'm not doing this. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, okay. Like, you do baseball in the fall, you do baseball in the spring, and you have school, you have more school, like, homework that's happening. I know Ron mentioned the public school thing, and we could go, that's not nutrition-focused, but, like, my kids, we picked our school district for a reason. They do go to public school, but it was an intentional choice. It's actually where I went to school, too. So he is really helping me see the value in slowing down a little bit, right? And not needing to have that stress. And it actually, and this is part of a presentation that I actually did last night, it helps you digest your food better when you can slow down. It changes where you're acting from in your nervous system. And you will actually digest it better, which is so interesting to me as I'm doing more research into that area. And, like, mindful eating is more than a series of habits, that it actually does change how your body interacts with the food and absorbs it and digests it. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, that makes so much sense, you know. You know, if you had to hurry and eat in the car, that should be the rarity, not the norm, you know?
and it's something I am so guilty of. So it's a lot of me practicing the things that I'm reading about. Like, I'm very guilty of standing at the counter to eat. Or when I still went into an office and, like, commuted to work, I always ate breakfast in the car. That was just, I got the kids to, at that point, it was daycare. Like, I got the kids to daycare and then ate my breakfast in the car on the way to work. And so it's a lot of relearning, even for me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, with Linda, you know, not eating breakfast at all, that just got to be, you know, got to be the norm when I was working. And then, or having a soda at work instead of, you know, something nutritious in the morning. And so, you know, yesterday Ron made scrambled eggs for us, you know, and so that, you know, and taking the time to sit down and eat. So, so I don't know how much longer we're going to be trapped in our house, but the thing is, We have stuff to do around here, so I'm not his appointment today was obviously canceled. So even if it wasn't canceled, we would have had to cancel it. So we're hoping to get out Friday. But it's really been a blessing for ourselves that this week we didn't have a bunch of medical tests because next week he has three. So, you know, it's just you know, you just kind of sometimes just have to accommodate, you know, lifestyle in with, but making a priority of eating healthy. You know, it's just, you know, since I've been home, I have been cooking more. The only thing I haven't been baking more, although I did make him the oatmeal raisin cookies for him. And the other day, and they turned out wonderful. But, you know, but again, okay. Just, you know, having some really good meals. But we stocked up on things because we knew the storm was coming. So we have, you know, we have everything that we need in-house, as it were. So, but again, but making that a priority, you know. So I thought the, you know, the thing from Saturday about quality, you know, and it doesn't mean filet mignon. It means, you know, although that's not bad, but you know,
I know it sounds delicious. I see quality as the difference between like a chicken patty and a piece of chicken, right?
Yes,
like
exactly,
you know. And some people can take it so far as to, like, is it, like, a local chicken, right, versus something from the store. But that's not always feasible, like, budget-wise for a lot of people. So
yeah.
It's really looking at, like, just keeping it super simple, like, chicken patty or a piece of chicken. Like, they're different. They're not the same, is how I interpret it when you say quality.
Exactly.
And it's,
yep.
I would love to be able to like rewrite our definition of like prepared or like processed foods, right? So we have like these, and there's this term out now of like ultra processed foods. And what always comes to mind for me is like Kraft Singles, where it's not cheese, it's a cheese product. But then think about, like, I would never want in that same bucket to be things like how you can get pre-cut up vegetables at the store or, like, pre-shredded coleslaw mix. Like, technically, it's a processed food. Like, they've already cut it up for you.
Right.
And so it is very much a convenience to be able to, and you're going to pay a little bit extra for it, but you're paying for that convenience of, like, I no longer have to chop up the broccoli, like it's already done.
Exactly, exactly.
That kind of thing. And so seeing as like a convenience food or something that is a little bit processed is not necessarily bad. You have to like critically look at it and think about what you're buying.
Right, because I remember a number of years ago, we were in the Finger Lakes of New York State, and they had cabbage. This cabbage was so big, it just took the whole backseat of the car. It was a dollar. I got it home. What on earth? It was preposterous. I could not use that much. So, yes, me buying a bag of coleslaw mix just makes sense, because for me to take this huge cabbage and try to figure out how to use, I think I used a tenth of it, you know. I mean, it was just preposterous. So sometimes, yeah, you take those shortcuts because it just makes sense.
Yeah. And it's, cabbage specifically, like my mom makes sauerkraut. And so that is a processed food. And we actually she's always called it processing food, right? Or processing meat, because my parents hunt too. And like they can, not the meat, but like the vegetables and things from the garden.
Right, but they're the ones processing
right?
it, so they know what's in it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a good point too, if like you have a better idea of what's in it. But then that's also a skill set that isn't as prolific as it used to be.
Exactly.
That's something too of like, who do we have?
Bob, were you trying to say something?
Yeah, I wanted to congratulate Beth for becoming a member of the board of directors on the
yes.
collection. Yes, we're so
Thank
happy
you.
To have you, Beth, and we have high expectations of how you're going to be able to contribute to our board. So I'm on the board. I'm the vice president next to Ron Clayton, who's the president. But we just are so so happy to have you as part of our board, and we have high expectations for your contributions. And I something I want to say about not only nutrition, but I think a balanced life is so important. Having a balance in our physical or mental or spiritual and all other aspects of your life are just so important. And I just think that nutrition is a very
Did we lose him?
I thought it was me because I set the phone down for a moment.
No. Bobby's still there?
So anyway, I just wanted to say that a balance in our life is so very important in all aspects of it. And nutrition is certainly a very, very important part of that. And my mother taught us. I have two brothers, and we, the three of us boys, we were raised on a farm, and my mother taught us to grow our own food. First of all, we grew our vegetables, and we grew our fruits, and we grew our nuts and everything, and we grew all of our meats that we had consumed, the chickens, the pork, the cows, and the milk we got. We milked the cows. We had two cows all the time that we milked them. In fact, I used to milk one of them before we went to school in the morning. But anyway, it was all fresh stuff, you know, and it was prepared properly. My mother and I helped her mostly, because my other two brothers weren't interested in doing that. But anyway, we would can things all summer long, that we would have things for throughout the winter, things that we had raised, like vegetables and fruits and all those kinds of things. Potatoes, we would keep them in wrap them and keep them in a cellar that we had, and all those kinds of things were important. Today, people are buying things. They don't take the time to do those kinds of things. In most cases, I still plant a garden every day, every year. And I grow a lot of things in that garden that we use and our family uses also to for nutritious value, and I believe I'm totally committed to that. And another aspect of a nutrition that I'm committed to, and I've been committed to this for more than 40 years, is supplementing our diets with vitamins and minerals that we need in our bodies. And I think that's extremely important also. And I know, Beth, that you and Linda and others are very astute and educated in those areas. And we thank you for your contributions. We thank you for helping us to understand it better. And we know that the good Lord has put you in our lives for a reason, to keep us healthy. Go ahead.
Thank you. Oh, well, thank you so much. It's growing food is on like an individual level is certainly becoming a little bit of a lost art. And I know that there are some like urban gardening programs, especially local to where I am in Albany, New York. That have popped up, and I used to actually run a children's gardening program to help connect kids back to where their food came from. And that was really interesting to see, watch them learn about how food is grown and where it comes from. And then I also always hold this sort of like global public health perspective too. I guess that's the master's degree that I feel like I don't use, but I guess I do, is that on a global perspective, it's actually impossible to feed everybody without, and this could be an entire episode and I would love opinions, it's impossible to feed the entire world without industrialized farming. So that's sort of how we ended up losing those individual farms to the larger farms, right, and something that's been more, industrialized, right, that's the term. But it's so nice when you do have that ability to plant a garden and connect with the food and eat what you've grown. And it's definitely something that not everybody is either capable of because they don't know how or capable of because they just don't have a space to do it or the time to do it. I know I've certainly planted gardens some years and then just not really gotten out there enough to do anything with it. And it's all kind of, gone to the squirrels, more or less. So
we fed woodchuck this year.
Yeah.
We fed the deer and a very fat woodchuck that ate everything in our garden.
Well, I'm sure they appreciated it.
So, but that was
where I am now. If we have a small yard, and it's kind of like a village, right? So the way that the houses are all right next to each other, and everybody's got their fenced off yard, so like deer don't really come through here, but we have such an abundance of squirrels and chipmunks that
yes.
My house before this was on 2 acres, and I swear I did not see this number of squirrels. There we would get deer and fox and things, but and I really feel like I see more squirrels here. And they will jump right in and eat everything.
The first year we were here, we planted 100 bulbs. My mom bought daffodils and all kinds of bulbs. And I swear the squirrel sat in a tree drawing out a map and knew exactly where we planted everything. We had like 3 flowers come up. And we had eaten and we had planted.
The deer loved bulbs.
Yeah. And of course, we have we are in the city of Buffalo. We're in South Buffalo, which is why, of course, we can't leave the house because South Buffalo does tend to get the snow. But we have an apple tree in our front yard, So that, and we have, when you do Google Maps, you realize how much green space we have around us, and we have a herd of deer. And so they come right. I think the apple tree attracts them, and then of course they come into the yard to see what else we have. So, but
oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with my mom grew up on a farm, and you know, we, other than tomatoes, because we keep those on our front porch, we have a beautiful front porch, and we have a great big planter box that we do tomatoes. That's about the only thing that we can keep that nobody else touches. So.
Well, it's too close to the house.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a fun porch. But it looks like we are at 1 o'clock. So,
oh, my.
I know. Today flew by. I wanted to remind everyone that the Mindful Meal Planning Journal, I believe Mary linked it in the show notes, if anybody's looking for extra help in their meal planning and tracking and really just bringing more mindfulness to how they're approaching their eating. I do have that available. And you can always follow along on the Facebook page, or you can find me on Instagram at @BethWyman_RD, as in registered dietitian. I just recorded myself unloading my groceries, so that's going to be some sort of video later this week.
All righty. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thanks, everyone, for being on the call. I always appreciate everyone. And I do apologize again for being late. All of a sudden, I heard Ron's voice, and it's like, oh, my goodness.
Not
well, I'll tell you what, Linda.
I had fun today.
Time management.
Linda, Ron did a good job filling in for you, Linda.
Well, I appreciate it. Well, thanks, guys.
He's usually a man of just a few words, you know.
Oh, yes, a few hundred.
All right. Have a great afternoon.
Yeah, you too, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Optimize My Life Radio. We hope you found today's show insightful and empowering. Remember to follow us on social media at Optimize My Life for updates, additional resources, and to stay connected with our community. Join us back here tomorrow at 12 p.m. Eastern for another enriching episode as we continue our journey towards a more fulfilling and optimized life. Until then, take care, and remember to make each day count.
Hi. Yeah, I want to get it.